I'm not sure, do we really love them or not? How you know, how I knew my parents loved me was, if I was sick and you told my mother to go naked, run around and I'll be well, she would do it. So when you see your parents kick off their shoes and, you know, jump up and lose their voice, that is how we know. It's not in the birthday present. Yes, it is. It's good because all of our children and some of us, we sometimes struggle with, do my parents love me? They do. You have to know how much pain they feel when things are not going well with you. You know, one of my grandsons, they're only two. The pain I felt when my younger one was in the hospital, the pain I felt. Somebody asked me, how are you? I said, I'm as happy as my saddest grandson. And he just two. That kid hasn't even lived with me. And my weeks were totally in disarray over a two-year-old child. So when you see us dancing, jumping, because that's how valuable you are to God and us. You don't need, so I hope you record it and you underline it. Same thing with all of you, you know. All of our young children here, you know your parents love by how much pain they go through when things are not well with you and how much rejoicing they get into when things work well for you. So I want to thank, you know, our God again, because when we came in on Tuesday, we came to bury our cousin who was struck in an accident in Baltimore last Thursday and passed away. Somebody ran into him and, you know. So we came for that. Then I came into Brother Bumi's house and he said, Brother Lodger, you won't believe what you will believe what God has done. Let me show you. And I said, thank God, because that was not one news I was going to be able to take. He will, you know. So thank God for the way he has always demonstrated to us that he loves us. How is God good? Because of the way he shows up when we need to be delivered. So this morning, what I actually would like to do is to just do a meditation on the goodness of God. I want to share with us my reflection on the goodness of our God during the time that I was struggling. Because I struggled when my grandson was diagnosed with liver cancer. I said, of all that he went through to come down with this, it was too much for me. I said, God, this hand is too heavy that you've just laid on us. So, you know, I'm not one of those people who believe that the devil's in charge of my life. So you don't hear me say that, because it's not possible. It's not possible for the shepherd who told me that he will lay down his life for a sheep for a wolf to come, and he runs away and the wolf grabs me. So I have to look to my shepherd. I say, Lord, where were you? But he's always been where he is. When we say God is still in control, actually that's an incorrect statement. God is in control. Not still. Still means they say God is always in control. Not still in control. He's always in control. And so what does it then mean for us to say that God is good? Otherwise, I mean, if we don't understand it, we'll run into conflict. You say, Brother Lord, you haven't yet prayed before preaching. We've been praying. We've been praying for a long time. So if somebody prayed for this, you remember? Somebody prayed at the beginning that the words we'll hear today. So let that suffice. I believe in the prayers that have been prayed before. But for those of us who are religious, who you take a spoon, then you have to pray again for the next, just leave it there, okay? All right. But I do want us, before I do a few things, what I would like us to do is to do a reading together. So if you could put Psalm 73 on the screen, we're going to read it together as a group. So we're going to read some scriptures together. We're going to read Psalm 73 together. We'll just read it here. Whatever version you put out, that will be good. Then we're going to read Psalm 34, which our sister Bookie shared on Friday. We're going to read Psalm 27 together. Say, Brother Lord, it's a lot of reading. Oh, yes. The Bible has 66 books. So if you can put 70, okay, are we ready? One, two, go. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my step had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But there is no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than the heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and the waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation. As in the moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by your right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to the Lord. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. So let's read together one more Psalm 27. Then at the others I will read for you. We're going to read Psalm 27, and you have to read it as a prayer. So the way the book of Psalms are designed, they are designed to be prayed. You know, when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, he did not fabricate a new prayer. He prayed the Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? If it's good for Jesus, what's the response? Okay. Psalm 27, please. Thank you. Let's do it together. Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Of enemies. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. You do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of and my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen you. Yeah, I say, amen. May the Lord, Lord, may you hear all these prayers we have offered from our hearts. Amen. So as we rejoice, as we, you know, hear those verses read, and as you look at Psalm 91, and as we rejoice, then somebody will say, but what about the Christians who went through a disaster or a calamity? Was that verse not right for them? And sometimes it's happened in our lives where you say, but there's Psalm 91 that says, nothing shall touch me. So what happened? And it is in those areas that you have to understand the meaning of the goodness of God. It is very easy for us today to agree with the fact that God is good. And so that is true. But when you go into a house of mourning, then you will have to come up with, real gymnastics of the mind of what are you going to say? How are you going to weave that equation so that the person you are talking to can say, God is good? And so as we prepare for not only today, but in the days to come, we have to understand that everything God does, he does in his goodness. God does not suspend his character, his attributes. He doesn't suspend his justice in order to be loving. He doesn't suspend his sovereignty in order to be good. Everything and in any area that our God operates, he's forever God. He's always loving. He's always just. He's always good. He's always kind. He's always sovereign. He's always holy, righteous. At the same time, there is no contradiction in the attributes of God. Our calling to be believers is to know the true God. That's eternal life. So it means as we learn, as we read, as we encounter all the things that come our way in within the will of God, we get to understand God more and more. That is the goal of eternal life, is to know God. Walking in the streets of Jerusalem, in the street of God, is not the goal. That is the venue, but the goal is God himself. You know, I am familiar with the fact that some people get disappointed with those of us who don't preach like, just say it in pidgin or say it in there. So those who, you know, the mountain of fire, where fire is burning on the mountain, and all those people who are every day fabricating new promises and, you know, turning it into poems and everything and say, today is your day of deliverance. Today is your, every day has been a day of deliverance since I came to know the Lord. So you don't have to declare a month of victory for me. I am victorious in Christ. It's not January. It's not February. It's, come on, you've read the Bible. Why do I need somebody who did not finish his primary school to be declaring to me that this day I decree it should be your month of... what are you talking about? When Jesus already declared for all eternity the victory I have in him, who are you to try and top him? And people receive it and say, well, you know, that he gave me a powerful word today. We are not that kind. I can't fake it. I'm not going to be able to do that. I cannot. Those who are in Christ have been victorious for all eternity. Because the Bible says that God, who chose us before the foundation of the world, he called us. That's Ephesians. And this design that we should be adopted as his children, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Not tomorrow. May is not going to be the day God declares this is the day that Brother Debo is going to be victorious. He says, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You can say that every day I'm victorious. Yes, that's good. If you want to remind yourself of it every day, the steadfast love of the Lord, the new every morning, it means I wake up every morning to the newness, to the renewal of that knowledge. It's not that God decided today I'm going to be good. He's always been good. It's important that we know our God, because if we don't, the evil one will play, all kind of games with us. What was at stake in the Garden of Eden? It was the character of God. Because in chapters 1 and 2, every day and every time the Lord set in place what he had designed, what was his comment? It is good. Every time God made this, he looked at it, he inspected it, it is good. So, I don't know, do you know the story of two blind brothers who lived together in harmony, and the tortoise decided to cause, what do you call trouble in Yoruba? Brother Emeka, what do you call trouble in Igbo? Okay. So the queen went out there, the tortoise. So the tortoise went and looked for a skunk, grabbed some, and got some of his sticking, that's skunkiness, and put it in the bag. So these two brothers, they are always, they eat together in harmony. So, but they are blind. So tortoise walked in and released a little bit of the odor. Someone said, Shege, why did you foul the air? Say, what do you mean? Tell me. They started fighting each other. And the tortoise carried the food and went away. So Adam and Eve, Adamo, and our first mother. So Satan came to the, he said, hey, look, did God really say, that should have stopped this? Stop there. You scallywag, who are you to question? Did you? That's where the trouble should have. You know, Jesus Christ, you want to tell the demon, shut up. It sounds dramatic to you, but that's what happened, was an accusation about the nature of God's character. He said, did God really say you should not? He said, no. It's only from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he said we can't eat. The Lord said to his creation that he put in a perfect place, and at that time they were not subject to the power of the devil. So just remember that Adam and Eve were not subject, like we have now become weakened, to deal with the devil. At that time, they were the kings. What happened was an accusation. Oh, no, that's not true. Because God knows he's hiding something. That the day you take up, you will know everything. Oh no, God is keeping something from you. Adam and Eve, they were not didgerins. They were not mugus. They were very smart. That's where they should have said, like the Son of God, get away from me, Satan. That's when they should have said, no, shut that your mouth up. God said, you should worship God, and him alone shall you serve. Because Satan came to Jesus. He said, all these kingdoms have been given to me. Do you believe it? Do you believe that all kingdoms have been given to Satan? No, it's not true. People quote it as if it's not anything. Please, so Are you recording? There are some people I know in Washington, D.C. There's a certain man. Whatever he says is never true. I don't know if you know him, but I know him. Some of you may not know him. The devil is the father of lies. Therefore, whatever he's saying cannot be true. People quote it to me that you know that. No, Jesus said, now all power in heaven and earth have been given to me. But the Bible said that all things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So who is the owner of all things? The maker. You have to read the Bible and follow the logic. And, Eve said, that's true. How come God doesn't? I don't know what was going on in her mind. But it's very likely that Adam was there. So she partook of it. Yeah, true. Their eyes opened only to the wrong thing. Nobody preached a sermon to Adam. When God came in fellowship, he was ashamed. Because something told him he's broken the covenant. So, but this is not new. So the Bible says we are not unaware of the tricks of the evil one. So, what is that? What happened to me? So let me give my testimony. You know, you have all been praying for my grandson, Ara. But during that time, I almost slipped. Because I looked at my grandson, I said, Lord, it's not possible that we're looking at the same person. Let me just confess it to you now. I said, Lord, when I look at him, the pity I feel for him, if I had the power, I would remove this from him. But you have all the power, so what are you doing? This is what was going on in my mind. I struggled for 2 weeks. Then, like the psalmist said, my correct head started to return to me. My head started to turn the right way, because all that time I knew I was in a fog. And as the Lord walked me through my own life, where I should have been dead so many times, I realized, you know what the psalmist said? I was brutish. I was foolish. I was not good before you. That's what he said in Psalm 73. So I want all of you to take a piece of paper. I want you to write 10 things down for which you are grateful to God. If you have, you can use your phone. You know, I'm used to pen and paper. So if you have a phone or something, I want everybody. It's a success. I know you won't have any problem with that, because your success is your name. So you don't even have to worry about, but still write it though. Sister Jackie, everybody, take a piece of paper or count it on your 10 fingers. 10 things for which in the past you are grateful to God. Then it's a hymn that says, count your blessings. So you do what, Sister, count your blessings, what? Name them what? One. So do it not two by two, one by one. If you're husband and wife, don't write the same thing. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Let's first do that. So because I knew I was going to give you this assignment today, I've already done it. So I have 10 things for which I'm grateful to God. So count on your hand. Number this. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And say to yourself, God has been faithful. And for this, I thank him. Brother Abraham, you writing it down? Okay, good. Sister Buki, I don't need to ask you to do it. I don't need to ask you. And Brother Femo, and I don't need to ask you. You're already writing them down. Sister Ronki, where is my brother Babs? Give him this assignment when you get home, please. I know some of you say, Brother Elijah, just 10. I have more than 50. All right. If anybody is done, Brother Peter, when you are done, can you take a microphone and read for us Luke chapter 11? The whole of it. because the context of the Lord's Prayer has to be properly understood. It's rooted in the goodness of God. He can come here and do it. I'll just give him my mic. Thank you. In Luke chapter 11, the Lord taught us how to pray, but he made the point clearer by saying two things. So while you're writing, Brother Peter is going to read Luke chapter 11, the whole of it. Thank you.
Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Verse 9. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
That's where I want you to stop. Thank you. And then, Sister Book, you read for us 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. No, actually, verses 3 and 4, sorry. 2, 3, 4, all the way to, actually, you can read all the way to 5.
Okay. "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ."
Thank you. So in chapter 11, the Lord said, if you human beings who are capable of wickedness, if your child asks you for bread and you're not giving them something else, they ask you for an egg, you are not giving them something else, how much more, in other versions, will your Heavenly Father, how will he not give you good things? And in another place, he says the Holy Spirit. The Lord is saying that all of us human beings, as good as we are, as wicked as we are, when it comes to our children, have you ever seen a lioness protecting her cubs, but has no problems going after the young ones of another animal? In one video, I saw, I think it was a crocodile that grabbed a cub or something into the water, and the lioness was beside herself, going up and down and looking for her cub. Has no problems pursuing a deer or a young elephant. Does not think of, you know, the way my cub feels to me is how this one, that's not part of their mentality. So the Lord is saying, you who, you know, I'm not always put together, you know how to do good things for your children. What about God? Because the prayer says, did it say our mighty God who is in heaven? Is that what how the prayer says? How does it start? Our Father. Our Father. He is the ground of all fatherhood. That's what the apostle later reveals to us by the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians, in whom all fatherhood gets its name. So, what then does it really mean when we say God is good? I will do a few. I will give you some writings, wisdom of people much smarter than myself. So, A.W. Tozer in the book, The Knowledge of the Holy. And if you know me, you know I make it compulsory read. You should have read The Knowledge of the Holy at least 3 times. That's just my suggestion. He prayed this prayer before delving into the book itself. Do good in thy good pleasure unto us, O Lord. Act toward us not as we deserve, but as it becomes thee, being the God thou art. So shall we have nothing to fear in this world or in that which is to come. Amen. The goodness of God, so we can take this definition down, is that which disposes him to be kind, cordial, benevolent, and full of goodwill toward men, toward mankind. That's the goodness of God. If we were to define it, is that which disposes God to be kind, cordial, benevolent, full of goodwill toward humanity. He is tender-hearted and of quick sympathy. And his unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open, frank, and friendly. Yes, he is. That's true. By his nature, he is inclined to bestow blessedness and takes holy pleasure in the happiness of his people. When I first read those, I was inebriated. I've never been drunk, so I don't know what it means to be drunk, but I have a feeling of what it might be, a better kind. When I first read The Knowledge of the Holy, I was inebriated. I felt like I was drunk. To know that this is the God that I bend my knees to. This is the God that Jesus is revealing to me, that he takes holy pleasure in the good, in the happiness of his people. It makes God happy to see you happy. I know some people, they will give you something, but sometimes you feel you wish they never gave it to you, because the poem that will follow it. Mm-mm. You will wish they never give it to you. Not God. Not God. Not God. It makes God, it gives him pleasure to see his people prosper. Because he's a loving father. And that will always be attacked by the evil one in tempting us. If you think sexual sins or other things, they are the most, they are the, that, those are, those. When you're first young in the faith and everything, and when you're still young, like those of us who are getting old now, those are nothing. You don't, even the body has, anyway, let's not go there. So, but this, you all live, so don't tell me, I know what I'm saying. But anyway, but pride. Pride, arrogance, and a sneaky feeling that God is not always watching out for your good. The devil will tempt you all the time. Because that's why people don't yield to the will of God. That's why they think, my way is better. No, that's it. My way is better. God said, go. There was a sister. God said, you should, on that day, we were listening to it. I can't remember. It must have been when we were doing the Bible study on Thursday. God told her to wear sneakers on that day. You know, she dressed up, wore her, you know, shoe. God said, put on sneakers. The Holy Spirit, she said, to the office? And people see. She did not. That day, there was fire in the rig, and they all had to run out. When you know that God is good, you take it off. You don't have to, because in your mind, you're not worried. Is because there is a sneaky feeling. God doesn't know what he's saying. You know, he just wants me to look bad. People see me and say, look at this. You know the native doctors in Nigeria that will still wear Giorgio Armani and wear slippers on top of it. That's how you know that they haven't yet moved to the next stage. So you say, I wear all this dress now. I'll come and put on my Adidas and I'll be going to the office. They'll say, look at this foolish African woman. No, God knows everything. Even God knows fashion. You don't believe me? Go and see. Thank you. You know, those of you who read the Bible, you read it, I think, you know, the first human beings were like Flintstone. Primitive people. Like when God made, when he clothed Adam and Eve, that blood was dripping out on them, you know. No, they were talking about the best leather suit you can ever imagine. Shaft couldn't even get near there. When they say God made skin from, you know, you think it will be dripping with blood and all put to, you know, like when we first started Deeper Life and we were trying to not look worldly. No, so, you know, we will go to the worst tailor to cut our shirt for us. We do enough of that. Anyway, that God is good is taught or implied in every page of the Bible and must be received as an article of faith, as impregnable as the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, God is good. A young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes we don't get the conversation. He said, good master, what must I do to do what? To inherit eternal life. Jesus said, why are you calling me good? And you think that Jesus is saying he's not good. That's not what Jesus is saying. Because at that time, people go to different rabbis, a good philosopher, but you can take or not take their advice. So Jesus wanted to show him, I'm not just a good teacher. He said, only God is good. And he said, okay, to test him, to help him, not test, because the Bible says he seen him, he loved him. So you know the commandments, you know this. He said, all this I've done from my youth. Jesus said, okay, if thou will be perfect and enter into life, go and do this. Go sell your things, give it to the poor, then come follow me. The man asked for eternal life. He said, no. Jesus said, you can come now, follow me. You follow me, the way to God. The man was very sad. He did not think that what Jesus was recommending for him was the best. If God is not good, there can be no distinction between kindness and cruelty. You will wonder why some children are born with Down syndrome, because it's a little cruel compared to the other children. And these things will trouble us. I'm going to read a testimony. It's 11:50 or something. If God, they said, then the goodness of God is the drive behind all the blessings he daily bestows upon us. God created us because he felt good in his heart, and he redeemed us for the same reason. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, they say, but God, who is full of mercy, in his goodness, he saved us. But God, who is good, divine goodness, as one of God's attributes, is self-caused. It's from God himself. It's not imparted to God. It's infinite. It's infinite. It's perfect. It's eternal. Because God is immutable. Everything that God is does not need improvement. Cannot be improved. God cannot be gooder today than he was yesterday. You can add that to English. You know, we Nigerians have the English, the British people need to pay us because we have enriched their language so much. Since God is immutable, he never varies in the intensity of his loving kindness. God cannot be kinder to Sister Roke today than to, you know, he was yesterday. It doesn't happen because God is always at his eternal best. He's always at his eternal best. God is always, always best. It takes faith to know and understand God. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. Because those who come to God, they must take him at he is. You have to take God as at God, as he is. His definition is our definition. All of the people I used to counsel, especially when it came to marriage, I've said to this man or this woman, I think you should listen to the Lord. I won't see them for weeks. And there was one particular sister that it's brothers and sisters, but on this particular occasion, I said to her, look, please don't put your hand here. This is like the back passage of a tortoise. If you put your hand, it's not coming out. She said, oh, okay. Then when things didn't go well after they've been married, he said, but why didn't you all tell me? I said, what am I? What do you want me to say? I came to your house. You didn't listen. Now you are blaming us for not telling you how bad he was. We came to tell you. We warned you. But at that time, she couldn't hear. And we are young people. Some of their biggest temptation is to think that their parents are not smart, that their parents are not wise. Their parents don't know it. They don't know. Why? It's just my dad. Ah, okay. You know what the hen said to the young one? The young one said, Mom, why is your beak bent? He said, just give it time. Is that not, you Yoruba say that a child cannot have more rags than the parents, right? Yeah, so. Time will tell. Is the wisdom that is in the fear of God that allows us not to discountenance the wisdom of other people. I want to pray for all of you young people. And it's a prayer that you will never depart from the way of wisdom. That you will understand what humility means. It doesn't mean lowering yourself. It means putting yourself in a place where you can receive favor from God. God gives grace to the humble. He raises the proud. Know who resists the proud? Not the devil, God. God actually pushes, just say here, to the proud. Anybody, any one of us. Go read King Uzziah in the Bible, the who died, and then Isaiah had that vision. He started well. But when he became very successful, pride took over, and he wanted to burn incense. And the Levite said, you cannot do it. He said, what do you think you are? I'm the king. Well, leprosy came upon him and they dragged him out and he was in seclusion until the day he died. Those are already there in the Bible. You read the story of Samson. How many stories do we need to read? How many do we need to read to depart from the way of pride and arrogance? God gives grace to who? To the humble. But he does what to the proud? He resists. And there is no prayer that you can pray. No authority you can take, and there is no mountain of anything praying for you. When God resists you, nobody can move it. What is the solution? Humility. The pride that the devil had, he passed on to our parents. And they suddenly thought they were wiser than God. And they left the Garden of Eden until a greater son, Adam, came. And he has now opened the way for us to go back to God. So Jesus has come to make, you know, the walk from Eden out. Jesus has come to take us right back to the Father. And one day, you and I will be in a place where the temple is God himself. We won't be saying, God, come and be in our midst. No, because we will be with him. Jesus said, I in them, they in me, I in you. We'll be together. So, let me talk to Tisha and the younger generation. I was very fortunate to have been saved at the age of 16. So I escaped what they call teenage rebellion. I'm truly telling you. Before that, let's just say I was, they used me for cautionary tale. That's how the allogy was, just a cautionary tale. But after the age of 16, I truly experienced something. It's called in understanding the piercing sweetness of the love of God. When you have experienced the joy of the Lord, every other joy is inferior. That is why I did not have a girlfriend until I met my wife. It wasn't not just because I didn't want to go to hell. I was happy. I was joyful when I met the Lord. I did not marry in order to be joyful. I married to share my joy. I was very joyful as a young person. God helped me. All of those stubbornness and everything, I don't know what God did, but I know that he delivered me because there were no guardrails. There was no father, mother, anybody to stop me. But God said, I am your God. I am your shepherd. I will put the guardrails. Every time I needed counsel, somebody came. The day I got to Ife, it was on the bus. I tapped somebody. I said, you know the president of the Christian Union? He said, come with me. I stayed with him for 1 year. He introduced me to ECU. He first gave me meal tickets. So he didn't just point me to the president. He took me along with him. So when we say God is gracious, I know it. That's my middle name. But don't say it. My other name, baptism, my name is Jonathan. Because when I went to be baptized, the man said, I said, what's your name? I said, Saloja. You want to be baptized with that? He said, is there anything wrong with that? He said, it's not in the Bible. So I said, so what name should I be baptized? He said, Jonathan, what about that? I said, that's good. So that's why my wife calls me AJ. I love you, Jonathan. But don't say it. I don't want you to write it on my, don't put it on my card. But it means God is gracious. God is gracious. It makes God happy to see you happy. I'll read one more thing, then we'll stop. Because sin has made us timid and self-conscious, as well it might be, we should be timid and self-conscious. Years of rebellion against God have bred in us a fear that cannot be overcome in a day. The captured rebel does not enter willingly the presence of the king he has long fought unsuccessfully to overthrow. But if he's truly penitent, he may come trusting only in the loving kindness of his God, and the past will not be held against him. So that's why the Bible says we should come boldly, because there's a timidity. And then you need those a few husbands who have offended your wives. You know when you're coming into the house and there is, you might be 10 feet tall and a wrestling champion, but you know that you are not entering with all the confidence you should. So let's just leave it there. You know what I'm talking about. But it's as God's grace encourages us, then we begin to feel at ease. The reason many people don't pray is because they're uncomfortable with God. It's not because of sleep. You say, Brendan, we ought to pray because when you enter into God's presence, I don't know about you. You might be on the way more than I am. There is a certain level of being uncomfortable with a holy one who knows you. He said, before any word comes out from my tongue, you know it all together. Can you deal with that being in such a comfortable, easy manner? No. Anyone who does not come into God's presence with a sense of holy fear, you haven't seen God yet. Oh, you haven't seen the Lord God Almighty. What was it that Isaiah said? Oh my goodness, I'm done for. My lips are so unclean. We all American Christians should be saying that because we live in the midst of people with unclean lips. The level of violent rhetoric, lies, gaslighting, and all the things coming out from those who are supposed to be our leaders is sinful and illegal. And we have acquired a tongue that responds to it. So when we come to the presence of God, we need to be cleansed. I do. I don't know about you, but I do. So Isaiah suddenly sees himself pitted against the holiness of God. It wasn't Brother Wale preaching to him, saying you need to be humble. Oh, no, 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 no. Nobody. He was the one who confessed, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God said, okay, I'll be merciful. He said, now this has touched your lips. Your sin has been atoned for. That's how the Lord communicates his goodness to us. So, Grandma Ned, when sometimes you are, you know, say, why do I have to go through all this? Why can't God just do this? Yes, those things happen. Or when you're thinking of a grandchild, when you're thinking of a child, let us trust in the goodness of God. I can say it because I've experienced it. I'm not just preaching it. I understand. I thought I did until I struggled not too long ago, and I realized I don't have anywhere to go. I only have God. God is my only option. Where am I going to go? Is it where I'm going to jump? He said, Brother Elijah is now going to the court. I won't even know how to behave there. I don't know any other lifestyle but being with God. And there's no better, there's no, if I leave God, where I'm going is, that's why the psalmist said, if you pull up Psalm 73, you know what he said? Who have I in heaven but you on earth? There's no one I desire. You have to be there. I wish there was a way to put, you know, our young people as they are going to college into a hyperbaric, chamber and infuse faith, long-lasting faith that will be released every year. But you can't do it for them. My prayer is that the wisdom of the world that they are being confronted with, that superior wisdom of God will overcome it. And it will. It will. It will. Jesus said, I will give you a tongue and a wisdom that nobody can gainsay. They looked at the disciples of Jesus and said, these are unlearned men, but they've been with Jesus. Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have it, but what I have, Peter wasn't saying I'm poor. No, no, he wasn't saying I'm poor. He said, I don't have silver and gold, but I have something. Which is better? To be begging for the, and you go, just think about it. Every day man comes home, the money he has is because he was begging other men. His son looks at him but the day he walks home, I just returned from my own job. He's walking, he's not begging anybody. That's what Peter, through the Holy Spirit, was asked to minister to him. It's been more than silver and gold. What a mighty God we serve. I'm going to stop there because the world is enough for the wise. You do not need me to go on and on and on and on and on. There are moments of joy. The Bible says to everything under heaven, there is a season. But this is the time he gave us to be joyful. So let's stay in it. Let's stay on the key of joy because that we have sorrowed. You know, we've had gone through sorrow in this church. But this past week and today is a different tone. So we are grateful to God. Don't be afraid that, oh, maybe next. No, let's stay here now. Let's stay where, because there's a time to laugh. There's a time to, but today, the time to laugh is now. See, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who were dreaming. Our mouths were filled with laughter. People said that God has done great things for them. So let's stay there. You hear me, my brothers and sisters? Let's stay there. In the days to come, Jesus said, do not be afraid. When you see all these things happening, you know, some of you have looked at your 401k. I don't even know how to read it. So I don't even know how to read it. Somebody said, I lost 10,000. I would not know how to. I don't know. I just put it in somebody's hand. I don't know how to read it. Yes, But Jesus said, in this world, you are going to have trouble, trials, but don't worry, I have overcome the world. And the world includes stock market and all of that. It means a system that is run by men under the inspiration of the devil, the arch rebel. All of these things we met in the world. People created money. They printed, you know, people created, you know, where, you know, this kalo kalo and everything. You put, you didn't make anything, you put money in it, and then it yields you 10, and it's, people created that system. It wasn't handed to us from heaven. So it will have its own time, lifespan. But Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, lift up your head, because your salvation is coming closer. He said, I will not abandon you. I will not leave you as orphans. Do you believe that? Okay, then let's pray. Let's stand up and pray. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails, who never fails, forever fails, forevermore. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never, he will never fail. Ah, who never fails. Who never fails, who never fails, forevermore. Amen. Oh, Jesus never. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never, forevermore. He never fails. He never fails. He never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never, 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 forevermore. Father, we thank you because we believe in your goodness. How? What else can it be? Our God is good. His loving kindness never fails. We thank you so much. And you know, Father, we are grateful for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for all the prayers, the Adenuga, the Thanksgiving, the Adenuga family, the Oshodi family, the New Covenant Church family, Atura family, we've all brought before you to say, Father, we do recognize your mercies. We recognize your miracles. We recognize your comfort. Thank you, Father. We're grateful to you. We believe that you are good because you are good. Your son told us, said, our Father is good. We believe him because he is the truth. He's never uttered a lie. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, we thank you because your son has revealed your goodness to us. And in that goodness, we will dwell in. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Blessed are you, O Lord, for now and ever. Be thou exalted, O Lord. We worship your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.